Broadcasting from the campus of Salisbury University, this is WSDL Ocean City, NPR News Talk 90.7, putting Delmarva first. It's time for Delmarva Today with your host, Don Rush.
For decades, the five-member Salisbury City Council has been divided up into two electoral districts. District 1 is a minority-majority district, and District 2 is an enlarged district that selects the other four members of the council. As part of redistricting this year, Mayor Jim Ireton has offered up some proposals that would change all that. Welcome to Delmarva Today. This is Don Rush. The mayor laid out three options, and the city council has just begun looking at them. But this also gives us a chance to take a look at the issues facing the city through a slightly different prism. 2 weeks ago, we talked with Mayor Jim Ireton, as well as Council President Terry Cohen, about these proposals. Today, in studio, our Council Member Shaney Shields, who represents the minority-majority District 1, and former Mayor Barry Tillman, as a way of extending this discussion about a plan that could dramatically change Salisbury politics. And welcome to the program. But first, I want to turn to an interview I did this week with the only African-American to be elected to the Salisbury City Council from District 2, that is former Councilmember Rachel Polk, who served from 2000 to 2003. With her unique experience in Salisbury government, I asked her about the mayor's proposals for individual districts, especially a second minority-majority district.
What is your reaction to this idea that the mayor has put forward, that instead of having the two districts, the one at large and the minority-majority district, having five districts, and one of his plans, he suggests that perhaps there should be two minority-majority districts. What's your reaction to that plan?
Well, you know, having served for District 2, I found that experience to be phenomenal. The district was so large, with so many varied interests, that it was difficult to represent, I think, the constituency because it was so large. So I kind of like this. I looked at the plan. The mayor is looking at, I think, Plan 2. And I think that's the one that I think that would be the most representative of the community. I support the theory behind citizen engagement. And whatever encourages that, be it redistricting or anything along that vein that would encourage voters to come out and to actually claim a stake in this democracy, I think that's important. I think that the two at-large seats that the mayor is proposing would be the best vehicle at this point, I think, to get more citizens involved in the process, because it would mean that during each election cycle, there is someone or some issue that I think everybody can support. I'd like to see that happen.
Do you think that where you come from in terms of where you live in the city, do you think that affects the sense of urgency that you might have about any given issue in the city, that if you live in one part or you're familiar with one part of the city, that you, the urgency may not be there for, say, another part of the city?
Of course. I look at Camden. And I look at Newtown. A lot of legislation focused on those two particular neighborhoods when I was on council. And that was because those citizens from those two distinctly different neighborhoods were engaged. And so it drove the discussion. And that's why I think that representation needs to be more broad, because I think that when you have citizens who feel their political clout, as it were, on the council, you also need to have input from other citizens. For instance, the traffic calming that we did in Newtown certainly improved life for the citizens of Newtown. But there was a lot of discussion on the west side about those citizens having to come through Newtown to get to 13 and other parts of the city, because they didn't have a voice on the council. You know, a lot of them, because their address is the city of Salisbury, they thought they had representation. They didn't. You know, it caused some friction, I think, in the community. So I would like to see a broader representation.
Now, one of the plans suggests two minority-majority districts. Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's a good idea? I mean, do you think that, given the fact that obviously the city is now some 34%, I think, African-American, and I think it's about 44% total in terms of minorities, do you think, obviously it's not part of the plan, I think, for the at-large districts, but nonetheless, the mayor has put forward this idea. What about that?
That's fine, too. Because minorities do make up 34% of the population. I think that when you have, as it stands now, just the one lone minority representative on the council, not anything against that representative, but, you know, people tend to think that that person speaks for the entire community. African Americans are not monolithic people. And the interests are varied, just like it is in the larger population. I think that needs to be reflected. When you have one person, that one person carries the burden of representing their entire race. That's a little unfair. That's a little unfair because you cannot please everybody. And because the interests are so varied, it's hard to have good representation.
Now, it was suggested to me that we didn't need necessarily individual districts or an extra minority district because those African Americans who are in District 2 could be represented by those who represent District 2. And your election to the council, the first African American to the council from that district, demonstrated that should not be a problem in terms of representing the African American community or that community in that district. Do you think that's true?
I wasn't reelected, was I? I think that speaks to the fact that the interests are varied. They really are. And yes, I think, you know, being the first African American from District 2 was, a novelty for this area, but we've grown past that. And again, I think the culture that we live in, the climate that we live in today, begs for more citizen engagement.
Do you think that the African-American community has been well represented in city government from your own personal experience? And I mean, not only did you sit on the council, but you've lived there for a long time, too.
I still live there. I still live in the city. And the answer is no, because, again, when Von Siggers was on council, she represented strictly the concerns of District 1. There were, you know, it was interesting when I ran for council, people were saying to me, but you don't live in the district. Don't you live in District 1? No, we're all over the city. And we do have different interests. I can't emphasize that enough. And that needs to be reflected in government. Actually, it needs to be reflected wherever you go in the city of Salisbury.
Former council member Rachel Polk, who served from 2000 to 2003, she was the only African-American so far to be elected to the Salisbury City Council from District 2. Well, first of all, Shani, I want to turn to you, and we'll just remind people a little bit about the proposals. Again, the mayor has offered up several proposals. One divides the city into five districts with two minority-majority districts. There would be staggered elections. Also, there's a second proposal that divides the city into five districts with two at large for a total of seven. Allows all voters to go to the polls, obviously, every election. That's be similar to the Waycomico County Council. And also, a third proposal that divides the city into two districts, and it's basically similar to what is at present, but expands the boundaries of District 1, that is the minority-majority district, again, to compromise about 20% of the city's residents. So, Shani, you represent, obviously, the minority-majority district, amongst other things. What's your reaction to the mayor's proposals and concepts about maybe dividing the city up into individual districts?
I think it's a long time coming. And I do agree with former councilwoman Rachel Polk that we need this. And I do agree with the plan, too, because as she said, and I think I talked prior to the taping, that what may be good for Camden or Newtown or Johnson Lake may not be good for Church Street or the West Side. District 2 is too large, we have annexed properties, and you need to be able to hear everybody's concern. I think what we have to do as also the minority people, we have to educate our people, and I would say market, why they should vote and the importance of voting and becoming involved. And as Rachel said, have more citizens' input.
Mayor, I want to turn to you. You were a former mayor until you were replaced by, you decided not to run, replaced by Mayor Jim Ireton. What's your reaction to the idea of having individual districts?
Well, I think there are pros and cons. I think the pros probably outweigh the cons. It's interesting that this is a topic that is not new to public discussion. From the time that I ran for office in 1998, there was discussion about having more districts. I think that more districts is much more representative. I like the point that Rachel Polk made that redistricting could encourage more civic engagement. And I think that's critical. We have a dangerously low voter turnout in this city. In the last election, I think it was about a general election, about 12% of the registered voters turned out, even when you take into account the fact that the voter rolls probably aren't spot on with moving and renters and transient population in an urban environment. That still is a dangerously low turnout. So I think that the idea that the point that Rachel made that redistricting, adding more districts could promote more engagement is a very intriguing one and I think should be pursued. I like the idea of the five districts with the two at large. I'm not sure about the five versus the seven members, but I do think that there's probably an ample body of evidence that would support the fact with the growth that Salisbury's had mm-hmm. and the growth that it's going to have. I mean, how long have we been at five? Probably yeah. since the town was in mm-hmm. the teens. So we've probably doubled our population since Salisbury was designated with five members of council. I think the current situation that we have, frankly, begs for multiple districts. We have three council people from one neighborhood, and it doesn't take too much of an imagination stretch to look at a lot of the things that the council has dealt with in the past year or so and realize that unless things are happening in that particular neighborhood, there's a lot of detail stripping and scrutiny that goes over that isn't applied to the Camden district. And I think also there was a dedication of some critical areas out in the Harbor Point neighborhood that underwent a lot of opposition and concern and review and discussion and work sessions when I think that if that neighborhood had felt fully engaged and been there to advocate for it or had a council member who was advocating for it, it would have been it ultimately went through, but it would have been less contentious and less dicey. I said there were probably some cons, and I think, of course, the cons are that it's difficult and challenging in today's environment, not just in Salisbury, but at every level of government in the country to get good people to take the time, take the energy, given the atmosphere with all the scrutiny and the blogs and things like that. Plus, just everyone's lifestyle is so demanding. It would hopefully be coupled with a real public relations push to get good people to step forward in different districts.
Well, now, one of the things, as a matter of fact, because I asked this of both the mayor and Terry Cohen, as council president, do they feel as if the neighborhood you live in has an impact on servicing the rest of the district? Certainly, Council President Terry Cohen said no. She thought she could deal with all of it equally. And even the mayor felt that while he certainly is supporting these individual districts, he did not feel that way either. Are they wrong?
Given the current situation, the evidence in terms of the voting and the discussion certainly does not support the fact that the entire city is being represented on the council. I mean, I don't know whether I do think it's possible. I know that Shaney, in her capacity, I know Von Siggers did, were very involved in what was going on in District 2. So I think it can be done. I think that it is beneficial to have someone there who advocates for particular areas of the city because, and I found this, I was, the mayor is, as you know, elected at large. So right. It's the mayor's job to represent the entire city. To have someone who's sitting there week after week after week who can go out, I know that Shaney does this, I know Cherie Sample Hughes does this, and have meetings in the community to find out what's on people's mind. Even if it could be argued that, yes, I can represent the entire city, I think that it it isn't a question of whether the system we have is bad, but maybe this would be better.
Let me go to Shaney. What do you think about that statement?
I think it still spreads you thin. I congratulate Cherie Sample Hughes because she has a much, much larger district, and she has reached out to her constituency and got the people, attempting to get the people involved. But I found that the way I do, I like to go into people's homes when I talk.
Let me ask you this. Do you think the other city council members do that? In area, I mean, we had a great controversy about the bricks and Church Street and so on. What do you think they do or they don't?
At this present time, I don't see them over in West Side. I have not seen them. I haven't heard they've been there, and I practically know everything goes on on my side. Now the other side is Vine Street, where the Salvation Army is too. Sassafras is another district. I don't think they participate like they should.
Do you think if we had, say, for instance, went with two minority-majority districts, for example, and one of those represented Church Street, do you think that, for instance, the bricks might have been looked at much differently?
Yeah. I think what was happening with the bricks, which is a sad, sad day for Salisbury, it's misinformation, or this wasn't going to be a project. To me, this was a way to help people to become homeowners, which we're all on the council advocating, more home ownership. And I looked at this way. I know when Councilwoman Campbell was the executive director of Salisbury Neighborhood Housing, we talked about having incubators. When they purchased a house on Camden Avenue, the upstairs was supposed to be like an incubator preparing people for home ownership. I look at this, the bricks, as a place for working people, or you can consider working poor or average citizen, police officer or something, living there and preparing themselves to become homeowners. And sometimes people have to be credit ready. They had workshops teaching them how to be a homeowner. And that's what I looked at the bricks to be. I didn't look at the bricks as being a thorn in Salisbury's side. I looked at it being a plus because so many cities around the country, and we want to compare, we want to penalize people to other cities, what they're doing. We should also compare what those cities are doing in affordable housing. And I think we lost that chance when we turned around $1.4 million for this project. And I think it was one of the beginning of the sad days in Salisbury for that.
And I mean, just to be fair, I know that the council president, Cohen, cited what she felt were some fiscal issues. But fiscal issues aside, given the idea that you might have, say, a separate district that represents the Church District, there might be two or three votes of whatever it is, that people would have to then begin to trade off and say, okay, I want such and such in my district. And you know what? You want the bricks, and we think this is a viable idea. I mean, that's how a lot of the district negotiation goes on. I mean, do you think that would have made a difference?
But also, you have to be a realist. I'll use a perfect example. Yeah. Parsons Road over by Rite Aid. They went as far as the stoplight, which was one of the first things we did when I got on council, stoplight at Parsons and Pemberton. Parsons Road, yes, I want to see Parsons Road be fixed, but it costs money. And that's not a $20,000 project. It's over $1 million project. So reality has to set in. And where we can improve the quality of life at minimal cost to the taxpayer, we should take advantage of that. The bricks was not going to cost the taxpayers any money. Any money. We partnered with someone. That's how you do successful things. The city may not have been able to do it, but if you partner with someone that's the expert in the field, that's how you get projects done, by partnering with other people and working with people and working with citizens and educating them and telling them the truth. Don't panic the taxpayers, because as soon as a person thinks taxpayers' dollars is going into something, you put them in a panic mode. I think we need to educate people and be honest with people. And also with this redistricting plan, I know we talked in the work session of bringing it to the people and educating the people on why we should do this. Yes, I think Plan 2 is great, but we need to also educate the people on the different plans. And that's what we're planning to do, I think.
Now, let me ask you something else, too. Is I know that, and I mentioned this to Council President Cohen, about the idea that there's some frustration out there about the council getting things done. And the response is that she felt, the council president, that that frustration was being expressed by people who are now out of office, and essentially that the policies of the people who are out of office were not favored by the electorate, and they favor her approach. I want to give, since the mayor here, the former mayor, is out of office, mm-hmm. What about that? I mean, that has been a response of hers, that yes, we understand there's frustration maybe on your part, but that's from people who aren't there anymore.
Oh, I don't think that it's just from people who have served in office. You know, with the recent petition drive, I was active in that, and boy, when you get out on the streets in the different neighborhoods, you hear a lot of frustration from people who've never served and maybe never been to a council meeting, but they feel that nothing is happening. And it is, with the exception of a change in the form of government, which is kind of pretty much what this last charter change did, that things are talked to death and detail stripped and micromanaged, but that very little is happening that is improving the quality of life in the city. And there is a frustration. It isn't simply my frustration. You know, I left office. I made a decision after over 20 years in public life, 11 years in elected office, that it was time for me to do something else. And I have not been active in going to council meetings and things like that, leaving it to the people who are elected. But if the council president believes that this is simply a matter of frustration on the part of a few former city officials, then that's not the case.
I want to ask you, I'll just read just briefly something that I ran across is from one of the blogs. SBY News, and I read this the other day. It's directed at Jim Ireton, who suggested that Mr. Mayor Ireton is tied to you, Barry Tillman. It says, every single person I've gone after since I started this blog 7 years ago is gone, fired, terminated, voted out. There's no help on the way unless you omit SPOA. Enjoy the rest of your term, meaning the mayor, because you will be voted out. The tribe has spoken. And the question I pose to the mayor and the council president is, who's the tribe? Who's the tribe that these blogs are referring to? And what's going on here? Mayor?
I certainly have trouble with the credibility of any kind of online or...
Although it does reflect. Yeah. It obviously reflects something else that's going on.
Well, but I have trouble when they make... Right? I mean, the credibility, it begs to have its credibility questioned when they're... using an analogy between the governance of the city and a reality TV show. I have no idea who he's talking about with the tribe, but I can tell you that when you're out there on the street and you're talking to people, and even though I'm not mayor, people still come up and tell me what they think and express their wishes and hopes and frustrations. And I don't know who he's referring to in terms of the tribe, but I will say that the citizens are very frustrated that very little is happening. They're frustrated with the contention. They're frustrated with the lack of action in the city.
Shani?
I want to say I, too, participated in the petition drive. And when you talk about are we well served, both the District 2, I think District 2 is just being disserviced. Because they're out of touch with the people, because if they really think their style is working, they're in a dream world. Because people are dissatisfied that things are not moving, and they need a reality check. And if they have really reached out to all the people and all the citizens of Salisbury, they would understand that the people are tired of what's going on in the city council. I am presently an elected official. I'm not an outgoing official. So I see it's frustrating for me. It puts stress on when you got to have meetings and meetings and meetings and meetings over one issue. A tenant's rights ordinance takes all this time to write when they can get the information at Legal Aid, the library, anything. That was a waste of taxpayers' dollars. The towing ordinance, which I never thought I would be dealing with towing. I know a little bit about towing now because of this two-year fiasco. I don't know if it's appropriate to say, but I'll say it. As I said prior to this taping, that you look in the mirror and look at yourself and you see what's happening and you see the conversations, and it's this leadership style is like an addiction. You know, an alcoholic and a drug addict will not admit they have a problem until you get in the gutter. How far does this city have to go? And I'm speaking to the listening audience now, too. How far does this city have to go down in the gutter with lack of things moving, with turning down projects because you don't particularly like either the person or the previous administration, and that would build up Salisbury and things moving to other communities and nothing moving here? How far do we have to go, this type of leadership, before we wake up and become involved in our city politics? And I think one way they did participate was the 2,300 signatures that we received. That should send a loud message that something is dearly wrong with their former leadership. I didn't get on the council to become president or vice president. I didn't get on the council to micromanage department heads. We have excellent staffing. But you add more work with this stuff that you're doing, adding more work when you know you don't have money to hire more staff. And I think that it's a disservice to some of our staff members, what they have to go through to deal with these folks. 3-hour meeting, if you can't accomplish something in 3 hours, you don't need to meet. And having meetings prior to meetings and meetings prior to the main meeting and 3, 4, 5 work sessions on one topic is still not resolved. So I think their former leadership is not good for this city. And I'm ashamed. I love Salisbury. I'm not ashamed of Salisbury because I love Salisbury. I love my city. I'm ashamed to be part of this council. I'm very ashamed of this. And I have sat on 2 different leadership styles, and we got things moving. And I'm really ashamed. And it's disheartening. It's really disheartening and like I said, stressful to see that what's happening to our city. And I want our folks to wake up and say enough's enough. And I think, as I said before, the petition really sent a good message.
Do you think, either one of you, do you think that this will become a major issue in whichever next election there is, I think, a few years from now? Do you think that's going to have repercussions electorally?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Are you talking about the redistricting or the lack of
whatever the next election is in general? I mean, do you think
we're talking about the charter change?
The charter change that you had, that obviously the petition failed, right? But nonetheless, this frustration that you seem to have, that you seem to feel that's out there, do you think there will be an electoral reaction to that at the ballot box next time?
Oh yes, because first of all, you got the signatures of more what went and voted in District 2 in the general election. You almost doubled it. So what I'm thinking, that the people are just waiting to get them out of there. I hate to say it, but that's what it is. And I mean, they could do the same thing for me, you know, to me too. But I'm just saying, people are tired of what's happening with this council.
Well, I think the vast majority of the people are extraordinarily frustrated, and they feel that the council as a whole is out of touch with what the city wants and what the city needs. Now, it remains to be seen whether that will be reflective in a change in government or just continued disenfranchisement. I certainly hope it's the former, not the latter, in terms of the fact that there will be more people engaged. But there are a lot of people who are just so frustrated, they'll say, oh, I just can't even deal with any of it. But there is just an enormous amount of frustration out there in every section of the city with the lack of action on the part of the city government.
We've been speaking with the current city council member, Shani Shields. She represents the District 1, also the former mayor, Barry Tillman. And earlier, we talked to Rachel Polk. She was the former city council member from the 2nd District, and actually the first African-American to be elected from the 2nd District. And we've been talking about the potential for redistricting, the proposals that have been made by the mayor. You've been listening to Delmarva Today. I'm Don Rush, and thanks for listening.
This has been Delmarva Today, a production of Delmarva Public Radio. Chris Rank produces and is our audio engineer. Our volunteer producers are Penny Hartman, Kathleen Grout, and Jim White. Don Rush is your host. For podcasts, visit our website, delmarvapublicradio.net, or subscribe to the Delmarva Today podcast in iTunes. Delmarva Today can now be seen on PAC-14. To view the schedule, visit the Daily Times or visit PAC-14.org.